He and his wife struck a nerve, and the money rolled in from conservatives. He did well in the Iowa caucuses, ran a close second in New Hampshire, but was running out of money and sinking in the polls. He would sink even more. After a brutal day of campaigning, his entourage settled into a motel in Dearborn, Michigan for a short night. It was there that the senator finally came face to face with child number 6, though not in person. The agent's name was McCord, and he'd been following Britt with phony press credentials for a week. He said he worked for a newspaper in Tallahassee, but in fact he'd been a CIA agent for 11 years. There were so many reporters swarming around Britt that no one thought to check. McCord befriended a senior aide, and over a late drink in the Holiday Inn bar, he confessed that he had something in his possession that would destroy candidate Britt. He said it was given to him by a rival camp, Governor Terry's. It was a notebook, with a bomb on every page, an affidavit from Peka setting forth the broad details of their affair. 2 photos of the child, the last of which had been taken a month earlier, and the child, now 7, looking more and more like his dad. Blood and DNA summaries indelibly linking father and son, and travel records which showed in black and white that Senator Britt had burned $38,600 in taxpayers' money to carry on his affair on the other side of the world. The deal was simple and straightforward. Withdraw from the race immediately and the story would never be told. McCord, the journalist, was ethical and didn't have the stomach for such trash. Governor Terry would keep it quiet if Britt disappeared, quit, and not even Mrs. Britt would know. Shortly after 1 a.m. in Washington, Teddy Maynard took the call from McCord. The package had been delivered. Britt was planning a press conference for noon the next day. Teddy had dirt files on hundreds of politicians, past and present. As a group, they were an easy bunch to trap. Place a beautiful young woman in their path and you generally gathered something for the file. If women didn't work, money always did. Watch them travel. Watch them crawl in bed with the lobbyists. Watch them pander to any foreign government smart enough to send lots of cash to Washington. Watch them set up their campaigns and committees to raise funds. Just watch them. And the files always grew thicker. He wished the Russians were so easy. Though he despised politicians as a group, he did respect a handful of them. Aaron Lake was one. He'd never chased women, never drank much or picked up habits, never seemed preoccupied with cash, never had been inclined to grandstand. The more he watched Lake, the more he liked him. He took his last pill of the night and rolled himself to bed. So Britt was gone. Good riddance. Too bad he couldn't leak the story anyway. The pious hypocrite deserved a good thrashing. Save it, he told himself, and use it again. President Lake might need Britt one day, and that little boy over in Thailand might come in handy. End of side 2.